Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
My microphone seems exceptionally live today. And I wonder if there's some feedback. No feedback. Well, I made some adjustment here, so I think it's okay. We're good? We're good. Praise God. Amen. Well, welcome all of you. To the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Welcome. And also welcome you that's watching this online right now. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching and participating in what the Spirit of the Lord has to say for us this evening. I would like to get started right away. I have a few things to cover. So let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that we got to spend here in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, we love you. We love you so much, Lord. And Lord, this evening, may your people, Lord, hear directly from you. May they, Lord, discern the voice of the Spirit. May you speak to them directly, Father. Be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what I want to share with you this evening is something that I have spoken about at length in the past. I wanted to talk about something totally different. I had put together this evening service 2 days ago. It was either Thursday or Friday. Praise God. Anyhow, so I was ready to go and everything is set. All right, great, everything is great. And then this afternoon, early afternoon, I go to refresh over my notes and get familiar with everything and whatnot, see if I do some last-minute changes. Sometimes I do that from time to time. And then all of a sudden, it just wasn't working. And I asked the Lord, "Lord, what happened?" The Lord said, "That's what you wanted to talk about. You never consulted with me. You got all happy and all excited about, I was going to preach on Leviticus today. And I sort of just took off and ran with it." And needless to say, I have it saved there maybe for another time, but the Lord said, I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord." "So then what?" So as I'm scrambling, the Lord brought my attention to something that I've spoken about a lot about in over 2020 and also in 2019. And that is the power of significant prayer. And the title to this evening's service is Significant Prayer. And I've come to learn that usually when the Lord changes things around like this, we got to listen. We got to tune in. I was going in a direction here. I was heading somewhere and I was excited about this. And all of a sudden the Lord takes me this way. And usually when the Lord does that, if not every single time as a matter of fact, we better pay attention. We better tune in. The Lord has something here for us. So may you hear from the Spirit of God this evening. I'm going to start out with a question that is, how can we make prayer more significant? I've talked about this on Tuesday mornings. I've spoken about this on Sunday mornings. And I've spoken about the power of prayer, the significance of prayer, the tool that we have. It's a privilege that we have as Christians that we are able to access the throne and the presence of God. And one of the ways is prayer. Oftentimes we access the throne of God through worship. Today, this evening, this morning, we've had a wonderful time worshiping the Lord. This morning was great. We had a new brother show up today. First time here with us. He had come well over 10 years ago when Pastor John McCall was still alive and in the building across the street here, across the driveway. But he decided he had been searching for a church, and and everyone is making him wear a mask when he comes in, and you have to practice social distancing and all of this, which I'm not talking bad about and everything like that, but I chose to not take that route, per se. Now, there are people who do wear their masks in here, and everyone is practicing social distancing. And I don't have to tell them, but by all means, we do have people that wear their masks and others that don't. And that's fine. And that is okay. All right? If you have a problem with that, come see me later. But the brother was searching somewhere where he could be free. The brother was searching somewhere where he could be himself. And he didn't want to give in to this political virus that's going around. And as soon as he walked in, which was at the tail end of the worship, he said he could immediately feel the presence of God. He said, oh, that's right. I saw him come in through the opening here in front of me, and I saw him take off his shoes. And he walked in with just his socks. And I was like, okay. That's pretty cool. I'm not encouraging everyone to take off your shoes before you come. But one could suspect that that was his way of reverence. And I don't know if he's accustomed to doing that or if he was just propelled to do that at the moment. But whatever it was, he came in walking in with his hands up and barefooted. And when he walked out, I shook my hand, he told me his name, and he made it sure that I knew that exact statement that he made, that as soon as he came in through the door, he said, the closer I came into the sanctuary, the stronger it was. And he left out of here without his shoes. I didn't know that. Nonetheless, why am I sharing this story? Because oftentimes we can access the presence of God through worship, through meaningful worship. When we come and we express ourselves and we just pour it all out, pour ourselves in front of the Lord, and we just give it all we have, and we use our talents, our musical talents, and if not, then we use our voices. Everyone can belt a tone. Hallelujah. Whether in tune or out of tune is a different story, but you can still belt a tone. Tone and tune are two different things, right? Nonetheless, we can all do this, and we can access the presence of God, but also we can through meaningful prayer, through powerful prayer. And I've said this so many times. First things first, how do we access meaningful prayer? And it's quite simple. You must want to. You must want. I just spoke about it. It was last Sunday morning service that oftentimes the Christian person who has a prayer need, who has a want, a necessity, or is interceding, whatever the case might be, they'll pray about something and then just kick back and relax and expect kaboom for things to just happen. But they don't act on it. They don't act by faith. So it takes a drive. It takes a want for you to make it meaningful. It's more than just words. Our prayer life is just as important as our obedient life in serving God. We need to focus on our use of prayer, and see if there's any sort of area that we could improve, and see if there's an area that we must pay focus on, pay attention, change, analyze our prayer life. And improving our prayer will make our whole life more meaningful, our whole situation more meaningful, when we improve our prayer. And I would like for us to see a couple areas. I'd like to explore a couple key points that I have here and ways to improve our prayer life. The very first thing that I want to bring to your attention is pray more. Pray more. There are some people in this world, in the Christian community, and you've known a couple in your lifetime, at least a couple, who are known to be prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. There are people who make it a habit to pray 2 to 3 hours a day. And to them, it's normal. It's perfectly normal. They're usually women. They're usually retired. They usually have a very special, a very nice prayer closet or prayer room in their house, right? These are women after the heart of God. And I'm not saying that this role is simply for women. Don't take me the wrong way. But from my experience, you know, we all have that grandmother. We have that sister in church. I have met a couple men who are prayer warriors. And oh, man. Boy. Nonetheless, pray more is the very first thing. And it's very sad to know that the average Christian spends a very limited amount of time praying. That's very unfortunate. We often reserve prayers for emergency use only. And that's not right. You know, a lot of times the Lord seeks our attention through emergencies. I've grown to be very, okay, Lord, before you twist my ear, let me fix it. Let me fix it, Lord. I'm quick at that. Quickly. Because when the Lord grabs your attention, oh boy, he really grabs your attention. And all of a sudden, you're burning kneecaps. Right? You're there. Grinding away. Lord. Yes, Lord. And you run to the presence of the Lord. But it shouldn't always be that way. It shouldn't be for emergency use only. But oftentimes, this is what it is. We need to get away from that. Right now, I want to ask you the question. Today is Sunday, January 3rd, until midnight. How many of us spent time praying yesterday, Saturday? Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm not just referring to praying over your food. I'm referring to general spending time with prayer. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour, 45, 1 hour. I don't need to see a show of hands. Need I say how many of us spent praying last week, if in case you didn't pray yesterday? I'm very proud that almost everyone in here raised their hands, if in case you can't see the crowd. But praise God for that. And you know, just like you guys here, more of Daniel is needed in the church. That spirit of Daniel, that reverence, that want. Let me bring to your attention right now, Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. Excuse me. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel just got bad news, like real bad news. News like, they're about to chop my head off bad news. That type of bad news, right? Not the news that, oh, I'm going to lose my job. Oh, I'm going to be demoted. Oh, they're going to imprison me for X amount of time. No. They're about to X me out. Cross them out. I'm done. That type of bad news. But yet, just as he always did, three times a day, he went to his upper room, he went to his little corner, designated for communication with God, and he gave thanks. He praised the Lord. More of this attitude is needed. More prayer. Next thing I want to talk about. It's very important that we must be more specific. More specific of our prayer. It was just mentioned about it earlier today. Prayers are often way too general. They're way too vague. In collective prayer, perhaps, keeping it general is all right. But more praying should be done for specific people, for specific needs, and all these things. Perhaps if we made a list of those who needs prayer, we could be targeting, we could be more specific, and maybe we can see better results. Prayer should be fitted to the occasion and also to the need. Praying for rain is more appropriate in drought areas and in times of drought than instead of any other time. So, of course, we must tailor the prayer that we do specifically for what we're trying to accomplish, for a specific person, a specific need. I want to get through some points here this evening, and I don't want to drag this, so the next thing I want to say is, let us pray with greater faith, with more faith. What exactly do you mean, Pastor? James said that weak faith and weak prayer and futile prayer, I should say, are connected. He links both of those things together. If your faith is weak, then your prayer is also going to be weak. James 1:6, please. But let him ask in faith, right? With no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Doubts and uncertainties in your prayer, right, is going to hinder things. If you have a doubt of what you're asking about, suppose you feel that unsure feeling. I'm not exactly sure if this is going to work out. I'm not 100% sure. Sometimes even when you're like, I don't know how the Lord is going to do it, but he's going to do it. Or, I guess he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to. Like that, I don't know how. Like, that's trembling water right now, right? That's rough waters. Oftentimes, when we have these uncertainties, oftentimes when we try to make sense of things, that just hinders everything. And then you don't have your prayers answered. Because you're doubting. Because you're uncertain. Because you're somewhat stuck, you're obsessing on the impossible, the difficulties, I should say, the difficulties, opposed to giving the Lord thanks with a thankful heart, glad of the great thing that he's about to do for you, for the thing that you are praying about. So, as I just finished saying, James says that a somewhat of a weak prayer is directly connected to weak faith. And let us use more faith when we pray. The source for a greater faith, folks, is in God's Word. That's where the source is. Romans 10:17, please. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is how you get more faith. The next thing I want to talk about is don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. James also tells us that covetous spirit hinders our prayer. And I'll take that, please, brother. James 4:2. Okay. There it is. Thank you. James 4:2 says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Selfish prayer, selfish hearts do not gain the ear of God. If you're praying for something for selfish reasons, if you're praying for something so you can be better than somebody else or overcome or for a malicious reason or for better than thou and all that, you're just spinning your wheels, as Pastor used to say. You're just spinning your wheels right now. You're not going anywhere. A loving and giving God is seeking to bless those that have a generous spirit. Remember, a prayer must be according to God's will and not of your own will. Because oftentimes we have a selfish nature. We have a prideful nature. A natural carnal nature. Therefore, we must be in tune with God and do things according to His will. The next thing I want to bring to your attention now is pray with a greater zeal. Another important ingredient is enthusiasm and fervency in your prayer. Sprinkle a little bit of that enthusiasm. You know, put some oomph behind it. All right? Don't just like, all right, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Just waking up, doing a little 5-minute prayer. No. Step on it. Right? Put some elbow grease behind it. What's another analogy? Step it up. You know what I'm trying to say. Put some heat on it. Fervency in your prayer. Can I have James 5:16, please? Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, folks, the fervent prayer, folks, of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer. Those words aren't just there just to make it more colorful, make it more meaningful. No, they have a purpose. They're giving you instructions. It's telling you, fervent, all right? Put your back into it, all right? By all means, step up to the plate. Have some enthusiasm. Believe. Act on it. Fervent prayer. Prayer coming only from the lips and not from the heart is what's called hollow and empty. An empty prayer, a hollow prayer. Those are the prayers that hit the ceiling and come right back down and hit you on the head. Hollow prayers, empty prayers. Put some meaning behind it. All right? The Pharisees of Jesus' day prayed those types of prayers. They were just talking. They just wanted to be heard. They didn't have any sort of meaning behind it. Praise God. Pray with greater zeal. The next thing is, let us collectively, everyone in here today and everyone watching this right now, let's put an effort to be a little bit more godly. Scratch that. Let's put an effort to be a whole lot more godly. That's better, right? A whole lot more. The more righteous we become, the closer we get to God, the more your prayer is going to get things accomplished. Believe me when I say this. The closer you get to the Lord, the closer you get to Him, the more you become like the image of God, the more your prayers are going to be meaningful. You're going to start seeing results to your prayers. Can I please have 1 Peter 3:12? For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Once again, from the beginning. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Elijah's success in prayer was directly related to the righteousness in his life. Elijah, the prophet Elijah. The rebellious spirit, an unrepented sin that we might have inside of us, will always hinder our prayer. Always. I'm going to include hatred. I'm going to include unforgiveness. That's a key one right there. Whether you like it or not, that's a tough one there. Some of us might have resentment. Somebody hurt us in the past. This person, that other person. And then that one person way back that they're not even alive anymore. You hear that all the time. And we wonder why sometimes we're always needing someone else to pray for a situation because the Lord is not doing anything. And then the Lord does it. But this should be you. You ought to be able to pray over someone, lay your hands or whatever. We might pray for yourself or a situation and you see the results just like that. Maybe not in the way that you expected. It could be done in God's way, but that's the best way. That's the best results. But unconfessed sin, unrepented sin, a rebellious spirit will always hinder your prayer. Can I please have Proverbs 1:28? When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. Ooh, man, that's strong. Strong. Strong words. I'm going to revert back to the analogy, I guess you call it. The spinning wheels. They're spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. I mean, you're searching for the Lord, Lord, come on, Lord, let's go, Lord. And then you're doing that fervent prayer I was talking about, right? And then you're putting your back into it, right? And you're really, you're doing all of that, everything that I've mentioned on the list, but the Lord is not doing anything. Why? Because there's something else hindering your prayer. Very important, folks. Very important. Though they anxiously search for me, the Lord is saying this evening, they will not find me. Forget about it. Forget about it. It's not happening. It's not happening. And now you know why. Unrepented sin. And ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Spirit of God, Lord, show me. Is there something in me? Is there something in my house? Is there something in my car? Whatever. Lord, show me what it is. And you don't think the Lord is loving enough to tell you, to show you? What is it that you need to fix? Of course. Of course. We serve a righteous God. We serve a good God, a graceful God. Of course He will. Another verse here for your attention. Isaiah 59:2. It says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and will not listen anymore. It's directly related to unrepented sin, folks. Unrepented sin. I just spoke about Let's be more godly. Put away selfish things. Put on the Lord. Put on His nature. Put away the past, the things that you know you're not supposed to do, and the things that you don't know that you're doing wrong. The Lord can reveal them to you. But right now, if you're wondering, why is it that the Lord doesn't hear my prayer? Why is it that I feel as though every time I pray about something, it's not happening? Well, now you know. I just showed you two scriptures. And I'm just going to leave it here because I got a couple more points to get through. But by all means, folks, let's make sure we address those issues before, because then you're just going to be spinning wheels. Spin it. And you're not going anywhere. Amen? Let's move on. I want to talk right now about improved relationships. Peter tells us that a relationship between a husband and a wife either help or hinder a prayer. And if you're in a relationship this evening, if you have a significant other, you guys are one. Okay? You're one half, and he or she is the other half. And it's very important that you guys see eye to eye. Very, very, very much important. Because 1 Peter 3:7 says this. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I had to say that. I had to put that in there. Because not everybody in this room is single. All right? We got some single folks here. And we got some non-single folks here. So it's very, very, very much important. By all means. If you are tied with someone. If you tie the knot. Right? If you have a spouse. If this applies to you, by all means. You need to be like this, in one accord, none is bickering, none is fighting, honor, give respect, be on the same page. When relationship break down between marriage partner, a relationship deficiency is also with God. The relationship between you and your God is also affected. Because there's a lack right now between you and your spouse. Moving on. I want to talk about now, let us grow in humility. The proud heart is rejected by God every time. And it always will. The enemy of our souls, our number one enemy, I got tongue-tied over there. Was cast out of heaven because of pride. And by all means, the Lord hates. The Bible says hates, H-A-T-E-S. And I know that's a strong word. Some people don't even like to say that word. But that word is spelled out in the Bible. The Bible says that the Lord hates prideful nature. He hates pride. James 4:6, please. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know that the Pharisees' prayer was rejected by the Lord because of one key element. And that one key element was pride. We don't want to go down that road. Remove pride from the equation right now. Now, on the opposite end of things, a cultivating a forgiving spirit is extremely important. Our Lord Jesus declares that we cannot expect forgiveness from our God if we refuse to forgive our fellow men. I talked about this morning. And I'm speaking about it again this evening. By all means, forgive. This is just one of numerous biblical warnings that our God's treatment of us is directly connected with our treatment towards others. Let me show it to you. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's very, very much important that we have a forgiving spirit. Forgive. The Bible says, be angry, right? But do not let the sun go down on your anger, right? Which means forgive, get over it, work it out. Work it out, folks. Work it out. Make it happen. Fine. Kick some dust around, shake it off, throw some water in your face, all right? Straighten out your tie. Let's proceed. Let's move on. Let's get over it. By all means, don't let it go over your head. Okay, heed to these words. Forgive. 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 Act on it. All right? By all means, act on it. I'm going to say just a couple more things here, real quick. I want to talk about persistent prayer. Be persistent. Our Lord Jesus taught regarding the importance of persistent prayer in the 18th chapter of Luke. The parable of the persistent widow. We all know it, right? I just preached about it a couple Sundays ago. I discovered a few things when I was studying that lady that I was like, whoa, dude. Whoa. Apparently, she had a mean left hook. The judge was so afraid of her. He was afraid of his life. Right? From this widow. It's plainly, when you break down the Hebrew, the words that are used in the Hebrew signify the fact that he was scared for his life. The word is bodily injury. Now, is that persistent or what? And this is a widow. This is a woman. Well, we've known a couple grandmothers like that back in our day, wouldn't we? Ooh, fiery, persistent. We all have. And we love them. How can we not love them? But nonetheless, this is a sign of persistence, folks. I'm not saying for us to be violent. I'm not trying to promote violence here at all. But when you come to the Lord, be persistent. Don't be vague. Don't just be, ugh. No. By all means, be persistent. Perseverance was the key ingredients for that lady's success. The parable of the persistent widow. Perseverance. The next thing I want to talk about is combine action with prayer. It's the last thing that I want to talk about this evening. That was part of our New Year's resolution, folks. And from time to time, I'm going to bring this to your attention. I'm going to remind you to act on it. Okay, put some action behind it. Combine attitude, combine action with what you are praying about. I want to see some results this year, folks. I want to see some testimonies. I want to see and hear testimonies of the things that the Lord has done in your life. And you're not going to have an excuse that you did not know. You're not. Okay? You're not going to have an excuse. We all have needs. And I want you to combine action with prayer. Pray as though everything depends upon God. Okay? Then work as though everything depends upon you. Don't just pray and then sit back and, all right, when is it going to happen? Lord, I pray and I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And just twirling your fingers. No, 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 no. Work as though everything depends on you. Work towards it. Pray as though everything depends on God for it to happen, but then you put it in action. Put it in action. Praise God. Pray for the best, but keep a contingency plan available by all means. Somewhere I read about a farmer with this sign in his farm that said this: pray for a good harvest, but keep on plowing. Right? You understand? Does that make sense? You can pray for a good harvest all day long, all month long, all year long. But if you're not plowing, how are you going to get there? Miraculously? You got to keep on plowing, dude. And then the Lord is going to take over the rest. Let's put action in our prayer. And I'm going to wrap it up here this evening. In conclusion, I'm going to say this. Prayer is our lifeline to the Creator. Always remember that. And prayer is how we thank God for our blessings. Prayer is how we can ask God to take care of others. And also, even ourselves. Through the power of prayer. And to pray effectively, we must want to pray better. It takes a drive. It takes a will. You must want to do that. And I ask you this evening, I ask you that you would examine yourself. Examine yourself and see if there's not a way that you could improve your prayer life. Examine yourself to see if there's something that you need to give up to God. Just give it up to Him. Just lay it on the altar. Whatever it might be that might hinder your prayer, give it to the Lord, and He shall take care of it for you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this word that we all, Lord, needed to hear. Lord, you want us to come closer and closer to you, Lord. You seek that unity. You seek, Lord, that oneness. You want it from us, Lord. This is why you wanted me to share this evening. And I pray that your people will heed to these words. I pray, Lord, that your people would want to spend more time speaking to you, conversing, Lord, with you, sharing, Lord, their thoughts and their feelings, their wants, their needs with you. You are a loving God, a loving Father, and you want us, Lord, to have the best of the best. You want to bless us, Lord. And Lord, we are here. Here we are, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your people will exercise their faith, that your people, Lord, will come to you, Lord, with sincerity. I pray, Lord, they will come to you with a clean heart, an open mind, an open spirit, for good reasons, Lord, reasons to glorify your name, to exalt your holy name. Lord, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that we all have. And Lord, I pray that we actively will want to seek your face every single day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen.